We're joined now by the director of the Frederick K. Cox International Law Center at Case Western Reserve University. He's Professor Michael Scharf. He was a former legal advisor to the U.S. Department of State. Professor Scharf, welcome to Day to Day.
It's good to be on.
We've just heard the latest in the trial of Slobodan Milosevic. Are there lessons there, do you think, for how the United States and indeed Iraq should handle Saddam Hussein?
There are tremendously important lessons. First lesson is do not let Saddam Hussein represent himself during this trial. Slobodan Milosevic has been allowed to represent himself. It looks like he's a David against Goliath, but in fact he has about 100 lawyers working behind the scenes, helping him out, preparing his testimony. But by representing himself every day, he gets to go into trial and spend about half the day browbeating witnesses, making soapbox statements, anti-American, anti-NATO statements. Can you imagine what Saddam Hussein could do if he had a year and a half televised trial and he was the star of that trial?
Is it fair for a court to say to someone like Saddam Hussein, you are not allowed to represent yourself in a court because we're afraid you might use it as a political platform?
Yeah, I've researched that very question, and unfortunately, if you look around the world, the jurisprudence of almost every country in the world says that an individual who is of a sound mind can represent himself, and the right to a lawyer is derivative of the right to represent yourself, not vice versa. But this is really a unique circumstance, and if they don't want this trial to become a farce, they're going to have to change the rules a little bit and say, look, you've got to play by the rules. You have to have a lawyer. The lawyer has to be in the court room and respect the decorum of the court.
But at the same time, it must be very important for people watching this trial, following it in news accounts. Won't it be very important for everyone to feel that he's getting a fair deal, that indeed the law is not going through all kinds of machinations to produce a guilty verdict and not let Saddam Hussein say what he wants to say?
You know, I think most people, when they look at a trial, they look at a trial where an individual is represented by a very able counsel. And there are many fine lawyers that are lining up to represent Saddam Hussein. And I think that internationally, the perception would be that he gets a more fair trial if he works through legal counsel. And if he chooses not to do that, I don't think that the world's going to think that's really a more fair proceeding.
You say there are many very good attorneys interested in defending Saddam Hussein. How would you go about defending Saddam Hussein?
Well, it would be a challenge because the charges against Saddam are going to run a 30-year period, and the prosecution will probably have to narrow down which of the incidents during the 30 years they want to bring to trial, because you can't really in a year or a year and a half period prosecute everything that Saddam Hussein has done. Once that has been narrowed down, the prosecution will have to have a witness list, and the defense will then go through the witness list and find out whether there's anything they can do to challenge the credibility of the witnesses. Documents will be very important, and so the defense will be trying to dig up its documents. The prosecution will be trying to dig up its documents. There are a variety of defenses that are available to Saddam Hussein. One might be the insanity defense. It didn't work very well during the Nuremberg prosecution when Rudolf Hess raised it. I think that most people view Saddam Hussein as a savvy, though ruthless dictator and not an insane one. But many of the choices he made, you know, in retrospect, you have to say only a nut would make those choices. It wasn't good for him. It wasn't good for his regime.
Would it actually be credible for a lawyer to go into court and say, Your Honor, my client ran Iraq for more than 20 years, but in fact he was insane during that entire time, and therefore we can't hold him responsible for his actions?
There's a couple of problems with the insanity defense. First of all, you do have to prove that he didn't know the difference between right from wrong during the period of time that he was calling the shots. And it's not whether he's insane now, because, you know, there might be an argument that after 8 months underground, he's lost it. But that's not the issue for an insanity defense. So you're absolutely right. It would be a very difficult argument to make. On the other hand, if you walk through all of the decisions that he made, this is a man who just methodically made decisions that were bad for his country, and he miscalculated at every avenue. And so you could say, look, there's something wrong with that person. This is somebody who's a psychopath and didn't really get it. And that is, in essence, the insanity defense.
Michael Scharf directs the Frederick K. Cox International Law Center at Case Western Reserve University. Professor Scharf, thank you for speaking with us.
It's been a pleasure.